The road ahead will be long. Our climb will be steep. We may not get there in 1 year or even in one term. But America, I have never been more hopeful than I am tonight that we will get there. I promise you, we as a people will get there.
This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, November 6th, 2008. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, poetry for a new president. During the campaign, Barack Obama's high-flying rhetoric was often called poetic, and the people saying that didn't always mean it as a compliment. But poetry helped him win the White House. Now what? Now he's in charge of a country at war, the economy's a wreck, and global warming looms as probably the greatest environmental problem ever. Charles Bernstein, poet, translator, author of 40 books, audio poetry maverick, professor of English and comparative literature at the University of Pennsylvania. What poem would you recommend that Barack Obama read as he gets ready to take on the burdens of the presidency?
So much of my consciousness and people of my generation was defined by the threat of the bomb.
Yeah.
Everything was being done in the Cold War in response to the bomb. I recommend that Obama read The Bomb by the great Brazilian poet Carlos Drummond de Andrade. Drummond was born in 1902 and died in 1987.
Mm-hmm. This poem comes, I think, from 1962. Can I get you to read an excerpt from that?
Okay. The bomb is a flower of panic, terrifying the Florida culturists. The bomb is the quintessence of a failed laboratory. The bomb promises to behave tomorrow, but forgets. The bomb speaks truthless and grins toothless. The bomb goes to all of the conferences and sits on all sides. The bomb stole and corrupted natural elements and will steal and corrupt more. The bomb cries on rainy nights, twisting in the chimneys. The bomb suffers from a strangulating hernia, amnesia, mononucleosis, verbosity. The bomb is not serious, is conspicuously tedious. The bomb poisons children before they begin to be born. The bomb continues to poison them through the course of life. The bomb jumps up and down, screaming, "I am the bomb!" The bomb does not permit anyone to wake it unless it's important. The bomb kills merely by thinking the other is coming to kill.
That was an excerpt from The Bomb by Carlos Drummond de Andrade. Now, Charles, what do you think Obama, if he did read that poem, what should he take away from it? What do you think?
What's wonderful about Drummond's poem is that it takes apart the apocalyptic thinking and understands that apocalyptic thinking can lead to panic and to psychological splitting between good and bad.
And he's sort of making fun of apocalyptic thinking in this poem, I get the feeling. Is that right?
Right. To get outside of binary apocalyptic thinking and the reaction formation that results, you have to think of the different images that result, in other words, to poeticize, to metaphorize, rather than to have these absolutes. And I think one of the things that Obama's own poetic thinking relates to is moving outside of these kinds of absolutes and thinking in, around, and among the problems that confront him, rather than in black and white terms.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say his poetic thinking, because one would normally say his political thinking. What makes you say his poetic thinking?
Well, I think the speech that you quote, the speech that Obama gave last night was a very Emersonian speech, and I think that Emersonian idea of a more perfect union, that we're in a process and trying to move towards some goal that we don't arrive at, is in American poetics, and the optimism that is associated with him is also a poetics, and that is a fundamental feature of somebody who is to be a leader, how they think, how they describe the world. The world is not a given. The world changes based on our descriptions and projections of it. So the apocalyptic thinking that we've had so much in the Cold War and in the last years in this country leads to a certain kind of view of reality. And to get outside of that, you really have a different kind of metaphors that are needed, different ways of thinking about the world, which is a different kind of poetics.
And how does this poem do that? How does it get out of that binary thinking, as you call it?
By creating a proliferation of different ways of understanding what the bomb is,
right,
from silly to tragic, from romantic to situational. It allows it to take on a four-dimensional reality, that it becomes a term that's a metaphor rather than simply these large, scary terms that we allow to define ourselves. 9/11, weapons of mass destruction, global warming, the stock market crash, these are all large things, and we define ourselves just in response to them as if they're monolithic. Huh. So to break away from monolithic thinking is the burden of many poems. This poem does it with one of the main kind of apocalyptic thinking. In fact, it's the very definition of apocalyptic thinking. It takes it on directly, the bomb.
Charles Bernstein, thanks so much.
Okay, my pleasure talking to you.
Testing, testing.
Hello?
Patricia Smith, poet, performer, teacher, four-time poetry slam champ. What poem would you recommend for Barack Obama now that he has won the presidency?
I would recommend Margaret Walker's For My People.
Uh-huh. And why do you think it's so perfect for Obama right now?
I've heard a lot today, a lot of older African-Americans just stunned, you know, stunned, speechless. And what I realized that, too, that there's a lot of... There's been a lot of damage done in the African-American community, which thought, well, the civil rights movement, and, you know, we've come so far and we've done that. But we can only look at some of our larger communities and see the extent and the result of some of that damage.
And so why this particular poem? How do you think that addresses that damage?
Well, basically, it talks about not only the hugeness, reflects not only the hugeness of this moment, but also it reaches into every corner and behind every closed door and every crevice and said, you, and now you, and you. For instance, I was looking at the second stanza from the end.
Yeah, can you read that?
Sure. For my people standing, staring, trying to fashion a better way from confusion, from hypocrisy and misunderstanding, trying to fashion a world that will hold all the people, all the faces, all the Adams and Eves and their countless generations. And I think that's kind of where the poem can open up and say that we've always wanted to be part of the larger dream. You know, we've always wanted to be folded into, you know, what America had to offer. And for some of us, it was easy. And for some of us, we still haven't reached that. You know, and it opens up and says, you know, like you said, I'm not going to be a president for some of you. I'll be a president for all of you.
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing him being president and being in that position goes a long way toward moving a lot of African Americans to a safer place.
Patricia Smith, thanks so much.
Sure, no problem, Curtis.
Hello.
Forrest Gander, poet, novelist, essayist, translator, professor of English and comparative literature at Brown University. What poem would you recommend for the president-elect Barack Obama?
Well, I would think I would read to him the beginning of a poem by Mark McMorris called The Blaze of the Puy.
The Blaze of the Puy. And Mark McMorris is a Jamaican-born poet who I think lives now in the United States.
Lives in Washington, D.C., right next to where Barack Obama is going to be living.
What about this particular poem is appropriate for Barack Obama, do you think?
Well, thinking about the, you know, this election, the newness of this, and that the election of a president is a kind of wedding with the people. And McMorris's poem is an epithalamium and a celebration of what it means to form that kind of bond and of the kind of faith and virtues that we need to rely on when, as he says, all maps are ahead of us, and what it means to acknowledge our common property and the power of words and hope, which is, as you say, what I think helped get Barack Obama elected.
Now, is this a book-length poem?
It's not. This is the last poem in a book by the same title, The Blaze of the Puy. But it's a sequence, and I would probably just read the beginning.
Yeah, please do. Go ahead.
Okay. Now let me bypass the roll call of virtues, put an end to the fiction of the word's invisible power, for the names do know their places and will come to pack the front of the church at the appointed hour. And once here, they will sit down to await the two reasons for their prompt arrival, just as we are seated here on this afternoon in perfect assurance that nothing unforeseen will occur in the meantime. Tell me, in short, love, what is a wedding? And then it goes on for several pages.
But he says, now let me bypass the roll call of virtues. In other words, all the good things about you and me, and put an end to the fiction of the world's invisible power.
Of the word's invisible power.
Of the word's invisible power. And what does he mean by that? Is he saying words don't matter?
No, I think he's saying that words matter so much that the names will arrive in their places at times even without us, that that the words will take on meanings beyond the meanings that we can give them, and that just relying on the way that people call out the virtues of presidents or of programs, or the way that presidential candidates use platitudinous language, those kinds of virtues, that we're beyond that kind of language now. We've arrived into the very center of where words and meaning come from, which is a kind of faith that that something real can be expressed.
And what would you like Barack Obama to take away from this poem, if you were to read it?
I guess the way that the poem makes us think about the promise of an engagement with others and how that promise needs to be kept, not just in faith, but in language, so that we might have a president who is careful with his language, which we haven't had in a while.
Forrest Gander, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Curtis.
You can read poems by Forrest Gander, Patricia Smith, and Charles Bernstein on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Do let us know what you think of this program. Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. We are always happy to hear from people. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.